when we were talking together last year, we were at the beginning of COVID.
That's Kara Murphy, co-head of Bain's Healthcare Private Equity Practice. And so much has changed since we had her on the show last year.
We're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, fueled by what we might say is some pretty remarkable healthcare heroism, whether it's how scientists collaborated to get us vaccines at record paces, all the frontline workers being resourceful in home care settings and in telemedicine settings to get people the care they need.
These acts of heroism have opened new pathways to treatment and care, which investors have only begun to explore. As Kara's colleague, Neera Jain, will tell you, they're moving fast.
We saw more demand for healthcare investments than we've ever seen. So healthcare deal volume was up 21% over 2019.
Today on the show, I'll ask Kara and Neera, the co-heads of Bain's Healthcare Private Equity Practice, to take stock of a remarkable year of changes in the healthcare sector and what all of those individual acts of heroism add up to for the industry as a whole.
It's been quite a dramatic ride. There's still a long way to go, but we would like to see that the good that has come out of COVID be kept as we go into this next chapter.
I'm Hugh MacArthur, head of Bain's Global Private Equity Practice, and this is Dry Powder. Kara, Neera, thanks very much for joining the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be back.
You know, one of the things that I noticed in January as we were pulling together the global private equity report that really struck me was that while deal values across all sectors had increased in 2020, somewhat surprisingly, the number of deals getting done in the buyout space actually dropped from an average of about 4,000 in prior years to 3,000. That's 1,000 deals that didn't get done, or nearly 25% of the market. And as I recall our discussion last June, healthcare investors were feeling tremendously bullish back then. Have you seen a rebound in the deal data yet?
There's many different ways to look at the data, but one thing that we did see is deal value in healthcare, when you exclude add-on deals, was actually down in 2020 relative to 2019. Now, one major factor here was the lack of a deal the size of Nestle Skin Health, which happened in 2019. We also saw some increased competition in the form of SPACs, and we saw some processes that got delayed. But we also see just outsized, unprecedented demand for healthcare, because what the data shows is that healthcare outperforms other sectors in private equity, and that's even more amplified in an economic cycle. And the investors have seen this data, and they know it, and so they are continuing to seek out those healthcare investment opportunities this year.
Given rising valuations and heated competition in the market, how should investors evolve their deal theses? SPACs certainly a competitive source of capital, but we are seeing lots of growth equity funds, long-hold funds, credit type applications, essentially a specialization or a narrowing of investment strategies that are either new to the marketplace or certainly newer and more on trend for the past 5 to 7 years than they have been in the past.
Those trends that you talk about, Hugh, are very much present with respect to healthcare investing. Healthcare being one of the hottest areas for private equity investing overall, more and more capital dollars are flooding in. And a number of firms, whether it's firms newer to the space or firms that have decades of track record in the space, are revisiting their strategy, asking, does our current strategy still hold? As we think about the various sectors that we're playing in, what is the portfolio of sectors and the balance of each one of those subsectors within our portfolio? When we look at individual subsectors, how do we think about the bets that we're placing within those? First of all, just one with respect to the macro trends, right? And are we going to see a gradual rebound? Are we going to see a quick bounce back? And so there's going to be puts and takes segment by segment. And frankly, there are also the micro considerations, because a lot of the opportunity comes down to which platform are you ultimately backing and what is the play you're making against that platform? How much of it is about consolidating a market? And if you're thinking about hospital at home, how do you build the requisite scale, as an example, and have the right health systems or payer partners to execute something like that? If you're thinking about something like life sciences and pharma services, how much runway is there in your current subsector? And how do you think about driving consolidation in that space and looking and thinking about what that next growth vector could be? And so there is going to continue to be both a macro consideration, and COVID is a factor, but there are broader macros at play, and absolutely a number of micro dynamics that remain at play that are going to be important to push through.
It sounds like there really are a lot of granular things to think through at the subsector level when you're trying to divine whether something's going to bounce back, there'll be a more gradual return or a permanent change, either driven by customer behavior or some other factor. As you think about the macro, though, are there larger, more transformative changes that every healthcare investor really needs to pay attention to, regardless of which sector they're focused on?
Absolutely. I think we'd highlight four major opportunities that are driven by what we experienced over the past year. Number one, we'll see a steady trend of procedures coming out of acute care hospitals. So concepts like hospital in the home, which has been largely theory for many years, now is getting another serious look. Number two is the increased use of telemedicine and virtual visits. This was something that a lot of patients were forced to go and experience over the last year. And it turns out a lot of them liked it and will continue to want to use that venue of care. Three is the development and adoption of efficient remote solutions for things like clinical trials. So during COVID, it was just impossible to be able to collect in-person data from patients. So it forced the use of new emerging technologies to be able to collect that. And that's going to continue to be something that you'll see in the marketplace. And then the fourth we'd highlight is just continued provider consolidation. We saw severe impacts on their practices over the past year, and that's led to the realization that there are benefits to larger scale providers in the market. And while those four things have direct impacts on subsectors, there's also implications for all the folks in healthcare that supply into those sectors, as well as pay for them, as you think about the payer side of the equation as well.
As your healthcare private equity report identifies, there are investment themes to consider across five separate areas: healthcare providers, payers, biopharma, medtech, and healthcare IT. What are the themes you most want our audience to pay attention to in 2021 and 2022?
So I think Neerad talked through a lot of them, but one is the undeniable shifts towards outpatient sites of care. And what are all the ways to invest behind that theme, whether it is the classic models around home care, hospice, PCS related services, whether it's derivative plays like social determinants of health companies that are going after things like meal delivery, transportation, wellness oriented benefits, or whether it's healthcare IT oriented things in terms of the systems and infrastructure that enable us to follow a patient through their journey and coordinate care across referral sources, which certainly has been an area that we've noticed as a deficiency during COVID with respect to healthcare's investment in technology. So that's kind of one area. Another will continue to be pharma and life sciences. You know, again, we got a vaccine on the market in record time, and a lot of industry veterans are asking, what can we learn from this? And as we think about other areas of development, whether it's Alzheimer's, mental health, whether it's cancer, how do we use all the best practices that were on display during COVID to unlock that next wave of R&D? And so whether it's services companies or technology companies, again, focusing on that innovation piece is going to be another one. The third would say, like, how do we think about what the go forward role is of government and healthcare, and where we might see innovative private partner models or, you know, government support for new programs, which is going to create another whole wave of opportunities.
On the next episode of Dry Powder,
healthcare is infrastructure for us, and it is a form of national defense. It's going to impact the economy. It's going to impact our standing in the world.
We'll consider why a conceptual shift to healthcare as national defense could create an enormous change in how the public and private sector work together. I'm Hugh MacArthur. Thank you for listening.